Can you compare the side effects and toxicity of sunitinib and sorafenib?
They are quite different, and the difference probably relates to the kinases they inhibit. And kinases, if you remember, are ubiquitous throughout all cells in the body, so you might expect that some of these drugs will have unsuspecting toxicities. With sunitinib, the toxicities that were discussed at this meeting were fatigue. About 10% of patients have grade 3 fatigue. Now, that turns out to be less than interferon. Interferon has the same amount, or if not greater, toxicity in terms of fatigue. But fatigue is sometimes limiting a little bit in terms of dose. These patients have hematologic toxicity. About a third of them will have myelosuppression, neutropenia, thrombocytopenia, and anemia developing. This probably relates to the fact that one of the kinases that's inhibited is c-KIT, and c-KIT is on bone marrow cells, and so you expect that to be a toxicity. The schedule and dose that sunitinib is used in allows a two-week recovery period, so patients can recover there.
Why was it designed that way in terms of what specific symptom were they trying to let the patient recover from?
Predominantly fatigue. If you give the dose 50 milligrams a day continuously, fatigue becomes overriding and patients can't take that dose of drug continuously.
And usually by the time they, through the 2 weeks, are they back to where they started?
After 2 weeks, they're back to where they started. That first week, they start to feel a bit better. It does vary with cycle. The longer they take the drug, the longer it takes for them to make that recovery. So sometimes they'll even need 3 weeks to make a full recovery from the fatigue. Most patients notice that. So it is an interesting phenomenon, and 2 weeks generally is enough. The other alternative one has is to lower the dose to 37.5 milligrams, which is the second dose level for sunitinib. And it may well be that the lower dose one can give more continuously and you won't have the same side effect profile.